I beg of Evodia and I beseech Syntyche to be of one mind in the Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. Years ago, when I was a seminarian in Switzerland, one Christmas vacation, I went to Versailles, the seat of the French monarchy in the old days, not to see the magnificent chateau, but I wanted to find an old chapel that served the Cistercian monastery of Pont-Colbert, outside of Paris then. I had just been a monk and had left my monastery to go to Econe in Switzerland, and my old father abbot had told me many tales about that monastery in which he had first trained to be a monk, the beautiful altars and the adoration of the Blessed Sacrament, day and night, perpetual, which was done there. Well, when I found it one rainy winter morning, there was nothing left of the interior. The French, as they will, under the Novus Ordo, had ripped out everything. In my recent visit to France, it was the same thing, even at the greatest of shrines, as a rule, which is sad. But the one thing that was left, I noticed as I sat there, was the wallpaper, which had been designed just for that church. It consisted of a symbol of the Blessed Sacrament and two intertwined C's for the Latin Corpus Christi, or the body of Christ. I want to speak to you today about two intertwined C's of the Corpus Christi, the body of Christ, not of his adorable sacrament in the altar, which we have almost just concluded honoring in our 40 hours devotion, but of that other Corpus Christi, the mystical body of Christ, the church. My first C this morning is for confidence. The whole of today's Mass is full of it. Come along, the lady sang in the introit. The Lord says, I think thoughts of peace and not of affliction. And St. Paul glows with confidence in the epistle when he speaks of the church at Philippi, his dear little congregation, as his joy and his crown. And in the gospel, see how serenely confident is Christ. He's surrounded by suspicious, dull, uncomprehending people, captive of their own prejudices. Still, the Savior goes about his work and rewards the confidence of a poor 12-year sick woman who had wasted all of her substance on doctors to no avail. And the confidence of the father of the 12-year-old girl who is just now dead. May our Lord reward your confidence today. But these two C's to be seen in the text of today's Holy Mass have a partner, and the second C intertwined with it is conflict. Nobody's getting along with anybody else in today's Mass. There's trouble in the little chapel at Philippi, so small that it started in a synagogue which did not even have its own building but met down at the riverside. What was the problem? Oh, yes, you heard Evodia and her side and Syntyche's position. It seems they weren't getting along with each other. And pretty soon, everybody knew about it, and maybe people were taking sides and splitting up way back then. How did this come about? It was the work of a few self-appointed leaders, lay teachers, spoiled priests, the Irish used to call them. And with his long life as a missionary bishop behind him, St. Paul could write from bitter experience of these enemies of the cross of Christ. They had shown up from time to time in his life and usually never left before they provoked a crisis. But he says it with tears. They are enemies of the cross of Jesus. Oh, it is easy to be a friend of the cross when it comes to crucifying others behind their backs, but it is difficult to crucify oneself. The heavy cross on your own back, and to nail down the tongue, and to put to death the hydra head of hatred and of pride and of disobedience, the bitterness which refuses to forgive, and the cowardice which refuses to confront, preferring to work with whispers and thus to betray everything sacred. St. Paul says that final perdition, hell, awaits the enemies of the cross of Christ when time and trouble are no more. And why? Because you see, they have gloried in earthly things and in things which others, even those who have not the faith, an honest atheist even, would find contemptible. The campaign of calumnies and gossip, which destroys a man's good name. Christians know that God is the avenger of all these things. Now, do you just want a little piece, that promise in today's epistle? And isn't that why we come to church? Then perhaps don't answer the phone so often or read the emails, but do read the gospel. But mind you, today's gospel shows us our Lord who comes not to bring peace but a sword. If you want to be my disciple, he says, take up your cross daily and follow me. There's conflict in today's Mass. Within her own heart, that poor hemorrhaging woman feels it. She's made to be shamed by her illness. And she knows that if she seizes this moment and goes forth to Christ, everyone will be talking about her in a minute. And our Lord begins the discussion. Who touched me? He turns to his disciples and asks. Who touched you? The apostles are in rather a touchy mood. Or perhaps it was only Peter that day. And they answered crossly. Why, there's a whole crowd here jostling about you. How would we know who touched you? A smart aleck answer. For the apostles had still to learn respect. It is no easier today. Jesus enters into the house of Jairus and is dismayed at the rout, the noise, and the tumult. Still he announces, the child is not dead, but sleepeth, and the crowd laughs him to scorn. And makes no bones about it. They contradict Christ. His analysis can't be right. Don't you see the evidence? Your own eyes. We have the facts. We know. Our Lord says nothing. It would have been wasted breath. He says nothing, but he acts and sets about the work he came to do. But first, the one essential condition for God to move among men must be met. Out! Get out with your noise and your confusion. There must be silence for God to work. Silence in your own soul. How have you been doing on that one? And then, with two words, he cuts through all of the conflict, and he takes that little girl by the hand, and he rewards the confidence of her father and restores her to life. Confidence, our St. Gertrude's great Sacred Heart virtue. Confidence, how calming, and yet how energizing, how encouraging, and how necessary today, when the devil, having pretty much destroyed the visible church and rested after 40 years at it, eyes the little remnant that's left and puts it in his sights. Still, I say, confidence. Confidence is more than a virtue. St. Thomas Aquinas teaches it is the condition of hope. But it, too, has its condition. What do they say when the sniper starts shooting and you're about to get caught in the crossfire? Down! Get down! Stay down! Down on the ground! Ground! The Latin humus, the source, the root of humility. The humble are safe. They're down on the ground. If you have already judged your neighbor, judge and jury, you have no need of Jesus, the just judge. Perhaps he would do well to listen to you. Your insight may have escaped him. The enemy of confidence is always pride, even though it seems so sure of itself. I'd never do that, we say smugly. The one rule in order to increase in holiness, the one rule in order to follow him and his cross is to lower oneself, to recognize that you and not your neighbor are responsible for your sins. So-and-so doesn't make you angry. You make yourself angry. And to recognize that God and not you is responsible for your virtues. And once you do get down on the ground, you see it's not so bad there. You have a lot of room to yourself. It's not too crowded. You realize you belong there. The idea sticks with you. Humus, humility almost haunts you. After all, there down on the ground in the quiet, you come to see that the only one you really have the goods on is yourself, and that you are, hands down, the worst sinner you know. And thus it is that a curé of ours could sign the petition that was going around the parish for the removal of its pastor, the curé of ours. And could remark appreciatively, after having read an insulting letter, "Ah, he really knows me. And he was sincere. Confidence. The worst when it comes to confidence is the crowd. Forget the fact they seem so full of themselves and so sure. That is the confidence of the mob, a lynch mob. And when they have done their dirty job, without ever feeling or seeing any conflict with the Ten Commandments of Almighty God, their confidence will melt away like the crowd, and there is only judgment which is left. How easy it is for Catholics, with each comment, with each criticism, to deny the miracles of divine grace which work every day in the silence of the confessional. Your sins are forgiven you. But if there is no silence, how can there be confession? And how could there be forgiveness? How can Christ work still in our midst today? And however will conflicts be resolved? However will Evodia and Syntyche manage to be of one mind in the Lord? Have confidence, but pay its price. You pay it on your knees. That's down pretty far. My mother, my confidence, Sacred Heart of Jesus, I place my trust in thee. Isn't it time you said a rosary? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.